hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Boy had saw the posters being put up everywhere. A circus was coming to town, and it's a big deal. And so the boy's like, I've never been to a circus. And he'd heard stories like elephants and tigers and lions and taming lions. And it was going to be this epic thing. And so he runs to his dad and says, Dad, I need a dollar. It's going to be in the mission for this circus. Dad's like, look, son, I'm sorry. I don't have a dollar for you. And he says, look, you know, maybe you can find odd jobs around and chores, and maybe you can go to old lady Crenshaw's house and cut her hedge or whatever. And whatever you make, whatever you get, I'll match it. He says, okay. So he just goes crazy. He's like knocking on doors. Can I cut your hedge, Mrs. Crenshaw? I'll go right ahead and cut my hedge. And then he goes and he does all these other jobs, and he comes to his dad. He goes, Dad, I think enough. And you said you promised me that you'd give me to match the grant here. And he says, okay, here's 50 cents. And he has this $1 bill. And the parade, the circus parade was coming the next day. So he can't sleep. It's almost like Christmas for him. He's like, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. So he's the first one there. You know, when you go to parade, there's that one person that has like the lawn chairs, and it's like an hour before the parade, and they just sit down. I'm sitting here, and they just, and everyone's still walking, going like, "What's going on?" He was like, "Parade's coming," you know. So he was that kid. He's ready. He's got his can. He's sitting there. He's waiting, and all of a sudden he can hear it. Do 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 do. And then he sees the parade. He's like, he's crying. He's like, it's beautiful. Beautiful. And then he sees the carriages, and there's elephants. He's like, it's so beautiful. And so there, and then the clowns like come with the big feet and stuff. And the clown was like handing out lollies. There's so many parts of me wanted to say candies. And the clown was also taking, I guess, donations or whatever, like, you know, because most of these clowns were also, you know, street performers. So he pulls out his hat, and the boy is like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And he puts his dollar bill into the hat. And he's like, Dad, the circus is awesome. Oh, it was amazing. And his dad was perplexed. He's like, it's like, son, he goes, what'd you do with the dollar? The clown was coming, and the circus was awesome, and I paid for it, Dad. I put it into his hat, and it was, oh. Dad said, son, that's just the parade. The circus is until tonight. And the son had missed the circus. We too get enamored sometimes with all the details and the events that surround Christmas. And we think that that's like joy of Christmas, but the reality is, and regrettably, we miss it. We miss the true joy of Christmas. We've missed the point. We've got off track with the real meaning for Christmas. Today's text is going to be just two verses. It's on your screen. I want you to turn your Bibles or your phone or your iPad to Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. It's on the screen right behind me. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That verse, it will cause great joy for all people. The circus is in town. This is the main event, was the birth of Jesus Christ. That is the source code. That is the Genesis story, the origin of the Christmas story, was Jesus being born. What is the dilemma that we face in 2019? What is hindering me this Christmas from really encountering joy? What are the stressors at Christmas time pull away my sense of joy. And how am I thinking and how am I feeling about this Christmas season? In 2014, a study in Queensland, during the periods of 1990 and 2009, they had found that during this period of time of the season, that there was a significant increase of people committing suicide, specifically on Christmas Eve and on New Year's Day. In North America, 45% of people dread. That's a powerful word to say. They dread the festive season and would, if they could, they would skip it. And 69% of people surveyed are feeling stressed out and feel that they have a lack of time and they're in a place of hurriedness. What are those stressors for us at Christmas? Well, some of them are sound and vision, if you're taking notes. Sound and vision. Some people wrestle with the sounds or the songs of Christmas. Either being, there are way too many songs, or they're way too loud, or they're too repetitive, or just too much. And some people are not able to truly join into the joyfulness of Christmas because it's also visually fake. We see Christmas decorations in the month of October. And so that kind of zaps us from any kind of true joy because we've kind of just right after Thanksgiving in America and Canada, we're all of a sudden going to Starbucks and everything is red and white and green. I'm like, it didn't take long for Starbucks to get this store ready for peppermint lattes. And it does. It does kind of zap the joy. I'm not really enjoying Christmas because I feel like I've been enjoying Christmas for 3 months. The other stressor, number two, is a festive workload. Typically, this is the year end. Most companies need to shore up. They need to finish up all the things that they need to do for their year end. Companies work their employees right till you go on holidays. And so many of us are going, I have year-end things that I have to finish off. Oh yeah, and by the way, it's Christmas. Joy to the world, my paperwork's still there. And it grows and grows. It grows. Number three, great expectations. I think at Christmas time, a lot of times we wrestle with keeping up with the Joneses. Do our kids get the next video game for their Xbox One? Do the women, I guess the guys would ask us, do we get diamonds this year? Or for some of us, do we finally get the pool, Dad? Sometimes we feel the financial obligations become almost monumental. They become almost Everest-sized during Christmas. We dread it because we're like, oh, honey, how are we going to pay for Christmas this year? Because we literally scraped through November. How are we going to supposed to do our normal bill load and our rent and all that? And then on top of that, have $500, $600 worth for gifts. We wrestle with this two things. One called optimum bias. The optimum bias is this, that we must have the best of everything all the time. If I could speak against one thing, church, is the optimum bias. You do not need the best of everything all the time. Number two, it's called the planning fallacy. We have an underestimation of how much time and effort tasks take. So we might, in our thinking, going, this Christmas 2019, I'm expecting a fun and pleasant and relaxing Christmas. With the planning fallacy, it really becomes, it's a messy and chaotic mess, and it's full of stress. Number four, a stressor is family. Believe it or not, you get closer to the Christmas season, you're going, I don't want to do this. Who's going where this year for Christmas dinner? And do I have to travel all the way to my mother-in-law's, My father, like, you know, and who, which person am I buying a gift for this year? And yet, right after we celebrate Christmas, we have to get in the car and travel 4 hours to another part of the country. That's a stressor. And a lot of times that zaps the joy out of our Christmas season. Because we're like, oh, I don't like doing Christmas Day road trips. And lastly, eat, drink, and worry. We go through all the what-ifs and the shoulda, couldas, and wouldas. I shoulda, coulda done this, or I coulda done that. Oh, maybe we would have done that. We start to stress eat. We all wear our comfy pants during Christmas. Put on way too much weight. And for some of us, we drink a little bit too much to make it a little bit easier. And in this day and age, we smoke a little too much weed to relieve the stress, and we justify it. Oh, I'm going through a lot of stressful times, Pastor. I gotta take a green break. For those that are over 65, a green break would be like a 420 break or a marijuana break. All these stressors are, and I want to be your pastor here, they're real. The struggle is real, and they're actually part of our Christmas narrative. But do they have to be? See, in the nativity story, and I'm looking at this beautiful picture here, it's a great idea here for me to look visually. The reality check is there's no big tree in that nativity scene with hundreds of gifts. Can I show that picture, Josh? Look at this picture. This is a woman in the UK. She did this. This is 1,500 pounds, not physical pounds, like pounds sterling, for her three children. Three children. You want to talk about a Christmas appeal? That's 4 years worth of stuff there. There's no big tree in the nativity with hundreds of gifts, except for there's only three for a king. Three for a king. There's no elaborate decorations, except for one big star pointing to a Savior being born. There's no big meal with expectant relatives, but one family celebrating the great joy of a birth of a child. The remedy for our holiday syndrome, this is actually an actual thing called the holiday syndrome by a psychologist called James P. Cattell. His quote is, "By the presence of diffuse anxiety, numerous regressive phenomena, including marked feelings of helplessness, possessiveness, and increased irritability, nostalgic or bitter rumination about holiday experiences of youth, depressive effect, and a wish of the magical resolutions of problems." That's how he defines the holiday syndrome. How can we do and experience more joy this Christmas? I want to know. Here's the first one. God doesn't want perfection, but he wants presence. Oh, man. Can I say that again for the people in the back? God does not want perfection. He wants presence. Not presence like that. Presence like, I want to be with you. Crystal's communion message about Emmanuel, God being with us, among us. John 15 talks about the vine and the branches, and he uses this Greek word called abide. It literally means that God wants to make habitation in your home. Is there room in that home for Jesus? No, there's a massive tree with 9,000 gifts. When I walk into her home, I don't see that Christ is the center of the home. I see something different that they value. God doesn't want perfection, but he wants presence. He wants you to be present with him. And that's part of that. Move from place of doing to being this Christmas. Be clear with your expectations about what the perfect or best idea of Christmas. Honestly, folks, you need to lower your expectations on what it looks like. And with planning, double the time allotted for stuff to happen. I remember how many times when the kids were little, we're like, we got to get to church. And there were so many times we were like leaving the house at 10. And I felt the worst as the pastor going, we're rolling in at 10:15. And we got screaming kids. And have you ever seen that one cartoon where the guy is like yelling at his kids from the car? He's like, get in the car, kids. We got to get to church so we can learn about the love of Jesus. It's like, what? But there's this, and I guess grace and joy are married together, aren't they? As families, I want to speak grace and joy is double your time on how long things get. So if you know that 6 o'clock is when your Christmas service starts here, I don't know, leave at 5. Like, leave at 5. Actually, that's when people are getting their photographs done and we're having a cafe. So just show up around 5 and then you're here. Lower your expectations. Number 2, focus on what you have and not what you're missing. Focus on what you have. I'm missing a job. I'm missing money. I'm missing a partner. I'm missing a turkey. I'm missing gifts. Whatever it is, don't focus on what you're missing this year. I'm not getting the new Apple Watch Series 5. Oh, Christmas is shot. Well, I never. Look. You have your health. You walked in here this morning. I saw most of you walked up to the station for communion. You have New Zealand. You know, you're like 10 minutes away from a beach and it's empty. Do you know that the people around you, left, right, back and forth, this is your church family and they can't wait to see you every single week? So give thanks to God that you have them. I know I have this, but I have food in my pantry. I'm very thankful that God has never left us homeless and without food. And for some of you, if you have jobs that have allowed you, you have time off coming. I don't know if you have money to go anywhere, but maybe you just do a staycation, but you have time off. Focus on what you have and not what you're missing. Number 3, focus on what you can control. Remember what I was saying, like, you draw the circle and say, Lord, begin a revival in this circle and step into the circle. Lord, you do your work in this circle. Focus on what this circle is. Be generous with your service. Be generous with your gifts. Be generous with your money. I was walking by Countdown by Ferrymead Road and the Salvation Army band was playing. I could hear them from my house. It was that loud. And I loved it. And they got the kettle program, their little kettle. Same thing in Canada. And I just, in that moment, I said, you know what? What I have right now is I have a $20 bill in my wallet. That's what I can control. And that's what I can give. Be authentic. Be real about how you feel about Christmas. Be real with yourself. Actually, if I could encourage you, love and value yourself. Remember that one person said to me once, joy means Jesus, others, you. So focus your time and energy on your relationship with Jesus. Look at opportunities to serve with others. And when you end up doing that, that takes care of you. When it comes to planning, yeah, plan. Plan, make a budget. We do that a lot of times. It's like, we told the kids, we've just moved to a foreign country. You're not getting that. You're not getting a lot of stuff. You get maybe one or two gifts, tops. Why? Because it costs a lot of money to move here. But we set that into motion, and it's, you can do that with your kids. And you can say them too. It's like, you choose one thing you get to give and the one thing to give away. We used to do that with stuffies. Remember that? Do you know what stuffies are? Like soft, like teddy bears and stuff like that. Stuffies? Yeah, okay. So because both Mikhail and Cypress had a metric ton of stuffies in their room, if they got a new one, they would have to gift out some of their friends to other people. But you could budget with your kids. And that actually gives you joy. Is when you give back. Take time to exercise and get outside. Regular engagement of community and spiritual practice. like the Blue Christmas service, like the Christmas Eve service, like the Christmas Day service at St. Martin's. Whatever it is, you're not alone. I can't give you a pill that says joy on it. I can't give you a time where it's like, this is the quick fix for joy. But what I can do is give you the tools to navigate it better this Christmas and the Christmases in the future. We need a reality check. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.